This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Now, when I was a kid, we had a fantastic local butcher called Albert Hurst. He was famous for his pork pies and also for being the inventor of the Barnsley chop. Now, it's supposed to be 1 pound 6 ounces of thickly cut lamb chop, which he created for Edward, Prince of Wales, when he came to open the new Barnsley Town Hall in 1933. And a recipe for cooking it is in Tom Kerridge's Best Ever Dishes. So today, for a Barnsley lass, Tom will cook the perfect Barnsley chop. Why, Tom, did you pick this dish to cook?
Well, I'm actually feeling a little bit under pressure now that I know you're a Barnsley lass cooking a Barnsley chop. But it's actually one of my favourite coming up dishes from the new series for that's coming up on BBC Two in the autumn. And it's kind of a bit of a sneak preview, and it's one of those beautiful things. Cooking for me is always about simplicity and finding wonderful ingredients and then getting the most out of them. And stood here in this lovely studio with this incredible stove that I have in front of me. It's the perfect way of cooking a simple piece of meat.
It is quite a lot of meat, isn't it?
It is. It's a big lump of meat. And you know what? I'm a big bloke and this suits me just fine.
So what ingredients go into your version?
So a Barnsley chop. Now, there's so many versions and ideas of where it comes from. But for me... chop houses, they originated from people serving, as opposed to joints of meat, individual portions. And so the chop houses, I suppose, the 1700s and 1800s, they kind of moved up north. And then I'm married to a lovely northerner and they do proper portions up there. So as opposed to it being a single lamb chop, it's a double chop. And it's almost, and it's that beautiful piece of meat that comes from, well, it comes from the saddle, so it's got this beautiful eye from the saddle of lamb, and then it has the little fillet piece, so it's kind of like a double T-bone steak, but just in lamb. But what I've done is I've dusted it in a little bit of cumin and coriander that we've toasted and then blitzed to a powder and just given it a nice dusting, so it's not spicy, it's just got a beautiful kind of, I suppose, this almost North African kind of heat that comes through it, which goes with the lamb so, so well. And then I'm going to finish it off with a little bit of saffron and a little bit of orange zest. And those kind of things all come together and make this beautiful, simple piece of lamb just taste kind of to that next level.
It smells absolutely gorgeous. We will have to wait a while to taste it, because it's got to be fully cooked, have its other ingredients added, and then I know it has to rest as well, doesn't it?
It does have to rest. That's the most important thing of cooking, and cooking pieces of meat like this, is that resting process is so important. And you get so many people that have, they don't like medium or medium rare pieces of meat because they say it's bloody. Well, that's because somebody served it probably too early to you. Now, that kind of, you can get beautiful pink meat, but it has to be relaxed. It has to, when you take out the pan, you just have to leave it to chill out for ages. And what happens is all those lovely juices go back into the meat. They keep it nice and moist. But then when you cut it with a knife, it doesn't leak all over the plate. So that kind of thing where everyone goes, no, I don't like bloody meat. It doesn't have to be bloody. It can just be relaxed and pink and beautiful and succulent. So resting is very important.
Now, you've done amazingly well. I mean, you've got 2 Michelin stars for your gastro pub. You were named Chef of the Year at GQ magazine just this week. But how did you first start cooking?
Well, do you know what? I, it was kind of a little bit walking into a kitchen for the first time was the first time that I really realised that that's where I want to be. But it was my love of cooking came from, I learned a little bit from my mum. Now, my mum had two jobs when we was a kid. It was myself and my brother, and we grew up as latchkey kids. I don't know if they're still called that anymore when it's a single parent family. And I would come home and I would cook for my mum and I'd cook for my brother, sorry, and do things like, I don't know, fish finger sandwiches or baked beans on toast and that sort of stuff. But I kind of, as a 15-year-old, was putting curry powder in things and seeing where it would go and the flavours, see if I could do a little bit more interesting with it. But then I ended up going into a kitchen when I was 18 and just for a job, for work, to wash up. And it was actually the love of the kitchen that I fell in love with first before really a love of food. And that kitchens, professional kitchens, are amazing places. They're full of naughty boys with knives and fire. And if you're one of those guys that love that kind of thing, for me, I instantly fell in love with it. And
Come on, there are a few girls in there now.
There are a few girls in there, but they're equally as naughty, if not worse, than the boys. So, and you have to love that kind of dark side of life, going out after work, you know, going out at 11:30 and then still being back in at work for 7 the next morning. So it's kind of a nocturnal way of life, and people who live on the opposite side, I suppose. The other side of the tracks is kitchen life. And I fell in love with that first. And then from there, produce came in and an understanding of produce, and it's grown from there.
I think your mum encouraged you to go to catering college, didn't she?
She
did. How important was that?
Well, catering college is always important. I mean, like everything, I think with every job you learn more on the job, don't you? You learn more, whether it's in media, whether it's whatever position or job you take up, you learn more rather than at college. But college is very important, especially if you leave school at 16 or 17. And for a chef's point of view, you've never picked up a knife before. You don't know how to chop an onion or a cucumber or whatever else. You can't go into a kitchen and never have held a knife before. So college, for that point of view, is very, very important. But I worked at the same point as being at college and just tried to get as much knowledge as possible.
And why were you keen to open a gastropub rather than a restaurant?
Well, I'd worked pretty much in Michelin-star restaurants my whole life, my whole career. And as amazing a place as they are, and they're wonderful, temples of gastronomy are phenomenal. But for me, when it came to opening a business with my lovely wife, Beth, it was like I wanted it to be somewhere where we would both want to be on our days off. And I'm much more comfortable in jeans and T-shirt than a shirt and tie. So that idea of opening somewhere where I want to be, I think it allows you to put your personality more onto a plate and into the environment. And, you know, a pub, I suit a pub much more. And it turns out that quite a few people in Great Britain suit a pub more.
But because you have been trying to lose weight recently, you have totally given up alcohol. How do you do that when you're in a pub?
Well, it's quite a hard thing, I have to be honest with you. When it comes to understanding and tasting new beers that are going on, we've been at the Hand of Flowers for nearly 10 years, and I've built this incredible network of staff around me. Like my general manager has been with me for over 7 years, and my head chef has been with me for about the same amount of time. So it's that trust in people that you have to put in. So when things come in, I trust them to taste it and tell me that it is all going to be all right and it tastes lovely. But the giving up on the booze has been quite a big thing. It's been a lifestyle change that I needed to take on. So it's, it is very hard, and I do miss it.
Well, we've got to rest the Barnsley Chop now. I know you're going to be allowed to taste it with me, even though it's got quite a lot of fat on it. We will eat it later. And let's just mention that you can get the recipe for Tom's Perfect Barnsley Chop on our website, together with all the other recipes for dishes we've made in the past. Or you can also sign up for Cook the Perfect, the podcast, which, of course, you get absolutely free of charge. And so we go on to the Barnsley Chop, which is now rested and is ready for the eating. We've got a plate and we have two chops, actually.
We've cooked two.
So if you cut a piece of that and Shoku can pass it over so that I can try it. You can have some as well, if you would like some.
So the
goes Alison.
The last thing that we do, once it's been rested, which is just done, is I'm going to grate on just a little bit of orange. And what happens, there's loads of lovely oils that come from the skin of fresh orange. And that little bit, just that little bit of zest will really make the difference and lift it kind of to another level, as opposed to using lemon juice. orange is perfect. Do you want me to cut a kind of a portion?
I think you'd better cut three pieces, actually. Whilst you do that, I'm going to ask you a question which has come from a listener. Sam Pennington says, pork chops, what's the best way to cook them to keep them moist and keep the flavour of the pork?
Well, first of all, pork, you have to buy great pork. Sadly, in this country, a lot of pork farming is over kind of manipulated and fed with steroids and pumped full of water. But the ideal thing of what you want to do is find great pork and then cook it nice and low and slow and gently. And then again, just like this Barnsley chop, leave it to rest, leave it to sit, leave it to relax. And just and those sort of flavours will always come through. But so much work has to be done at the beginning part. If you buy a beautiful pork chop, then, you know, most of the work is done in the first place.
OK, now I've got my piece of Barnsley chop. You can pass that over to the others. It has got quite a lot of fat on it. I'm not going to worry about that, am I?
No, fat is good. It's carbohydrates that are bad.
Carbohydrates and beer.
And beer. Yeah.
Stay away from the beer.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so good. It's really tender. It's and the flavour of the orange has gone right through into the meat.
A little bit of orange, a little bit of spice on the outside just takes a simple lamb dish to something else.
There are lots of what's going on around this table. I think we're all rather pleased with that, Tom.
Good.
It's very good. One other quick question from Alison Alexander, who says, Scotch eggs, does Tom like them? How can I make them more interesting? And can I bake, not deep fry them?
Does Tom like them? Yes, love them. Absolutely think they're amazing. There's nothing wrong with a Scotch egg. Cooking them to order is the thing that you want to do. So we do a couple of things at the restaurant where you poach, soft boil a quail egg for 2 minutes, then put it into ice water and then peel it. It's very tricky and you'll lose loads. But once you've done that, you can keep it nice, the yolk nice and runny, and then coat it in, well, you can do it in your normal kind of pork sausage meat, which is delicious. But you can mix it up with some lamb mince, some spiced lamb and orange mince. You could imagine that, or you could do it with some salt cod, or and then fry them or bake them in the oven to order. And that way, if you can get your timings right, the yolk in the middle will still be runny, but everything will be cooked on the outside. Just play around and experiment, but there's loads of beautiful flavours you can get with them.
All right, quick one from Tony Bishop Weston. With a massive increase in interest in vegan cuisine and availability of new dairy-free alternatives in supermarkets, what's the best vegan option for a pub menu?
Ah.
She says, as she has another bite
of
Barnsley
chop. Yeah, as another bite of Barnsley chop. Do you know what? We're very solid in actually our form of vegetarian and vegan kind of cooking that we use. We do at the minute, there's three or four different dishes where we roast whole vegetables. So we bake maybe a Romanesco or a cauliflower or a whole celeriac. And the flavours you get from roasting whole big vegetables like that kind of far exceed just boiling small little bits in water. So have a look at roasting the vegetable whole in beautiful olive oil or and then grating orange zest on the top.
Tom Kerridge, thank you so much. And I'm glad you too enjoyed the Barnsley chop.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.